The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
It's Friday, the best day of the week. Time for another Nate Darling Show with Diana Hong, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. And now, here to ease away the tension of your week, here's Nate.
All right, everybody, just relax. Find your chakra, your happy place. Relax. Do your thing.
Ace is all comfortable.
Ace is curling. He had a rough week.
It's also because I'm wearing like black clothes, and
he wants to shed
on me.
Yep.
So I can't hear me. Turn me up.
Oh, hold on. Sorry. Let me turn
up for what?
I'm back.
There we go.
Turn down for what?
Hey, now we can hear.
Everybody
can hear. Here we go. When I was away for 8 days.
Ever. Doing fabulous things on Facebook. So every day I'd be at work and I'd be like, what is fucking Nate Darling doing today? Oh, look. It's sunny and lovely. And he's at a baseball game. Oh, look. He's drinking some lovely beer. Fuck you, Nate Darling.
To be fair, I was at a baseball game. I set a new record for myself.
Yeah.
I went to 6 baseball games in 7 days.
Yeah, you did good.
My only off day was the day that no one was playing. The Padres were playing, but they were playing in Philadelphia that day. And the Angels were traveling, and the Dodgers were traveling. So I had one off day.
Do you watch the whole entire game?
Stayed for 14 innings one night, Diana. 14 innings.
Like, do you actually pay attention to the whole entire game?
Yup.
That's so weird.
No, it's not.
That's so, because baseball's so slow.
That's why you drink a lot of beer.
Especially when you're staying at the hotel that's across the street from Petco Park. Then you can drink beer. Although, ballpark prices are getting ridiculous for beer. Like, I got into a Twitter conversation with Angel Stadium. Literally, there is a Twitter account for Angel Stadium. And because I got seat number one, and I'm thinking, great, I'm right next to the aisle because I was in the outfield for the 14-inning game. No, I was actually right next to a fence for the cutout that goes into the corner. And I was like, man, this and the beer is this much. And they're like, actually, we have beer for $4.75 behind this section. Were you seated in error? Do we need to move you? And I'm like, wait, what? They were actually, I was like, they were actually very responsive. And I'm like, no, unless you're feeling generous, I'm okay. There's no safety or access issue. And they're like, no, we just wanted to make sure that you weren't promised an aisle seat and you didn't get an aisle seat. So I thought that was really good customer service via Twitter, which is kind of rare. But
customer service is like a thing now.
It is on Twitter. Complaining on Twitter is the best way to go. That's what I say. Unless you're going to complain about the show, in which case you can just go fuck yourself. So,
but we will read them.
You want to tweet me? It's at Nate Darling. You want to tweet Diana? It's at Bitches Preach.
Mm-hmm.
Christiana, are you on Twitter at all?
I am not really.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, but not enough to even bother giving out the handle because
that's fine.
I use my Twitter primarily to tweet at journalists when they get stuff wrong.
You just use it to complain.
Mostly like movie or TV stuff, or there's a guy at the Chronicle who I really like his writing, but he had confused seals and sea lions, and it really bothers me. So tweeted about that.
He must love hearing from you.
Yeah.
That's the only way. If you know Christiana's Twitter handle, you did something wrong.
You're right. Yeah. You
right. If you see me tweet you.
You fucked up.
You done fucked up. So
it's one of those terrible things. Let's start the show on a fun note. What do you think would happen if a fly flew up a baby goat's nose?
Something adorable.
Poor little guy.
We've all been there, buddy. We've all been there.
It's rough. And he's trying to... baby goats are adorable. But yeah, so that was the best thing on Jezebel today. Fly careens into baby goat's nose, hilarity ensues. So go ahead and look for that on your own.
Hashtag team baby goat. I love everything about this.
Yeah, it's a rough time. Part of my vacation, like we mentioned, went to a bunch of baseball games. Went to Petco Park, which is fucking awesome. I mean, it's 10 years old this year. The only complaint I have about Petco Park is their video boards are starting to show their age, because 10 years is about all you're going to get out of them these days. So they could use new video boards. Otherwise, the place is fantastic. It just is. It's just a wonderful place to watch a baseball game. Dodger Stadium, on the other hand,
watch
which is
it.
Now the third oldest stadium in baseball.
And still fucking beautiful. You can see everything and there's no problem with it.
We're going to get to all that.
No.
The oldest operating major league ballpark is Fenway. Wrigley Field is second. And then Dodger Stadium, which opened in 62, I believe.
That's right.
And then Angel Stadium, which opened, I think, in 66 or 67. So I went to two of the four oldest ballparks, and I've been to three of them. Dodger Stadium, once you're in your seat, I enjoy Dodger Stadium because they put in brand new video boards this year and they look beautiful. They are fantastic looking. The place looks really good. The new owners have done a nice job. The parking lots felt safer. There were people around everywhere. You didn't feel like you were walking through a dark alley at any point. So that is all improved. But there is a ton of nonsense about Dodger Stadium, and the first one is getting there.
Yeah, it's
because
a challenge.
It's
you didn't drive there, did you?
Well, how else am I going to get there?
Oh, come on! You do a park and ride, Christ, man. Are you new to this? Jeez,
park and ride.
That's why everybody can't talk shit because you've just been doing it.
Amateur.
Everybody drives to Dodger Stadium.
No, they don't.
No, they're the people that take the
smart people take a light rail or a train. They hit Felipe's. They get a motherfucking dip, and then they go.
What's a dip?
French dip.
That sounds good.
Oh, it's so good. It's beyond good. It's like amazing. It's like the best thing ever.
Unless you're a vegan, then it sounds like murder.
Well, Ted's not
here. Which tastes delicious.
Ted's not here tonight.
I know.
So we can avow our love of the deep dipping.
They do have the one, the shuttle bus service that goes from Union Station up. But most people drive to Dodger Stadium. And there's only two roads in. And even though we didn't get on the freeway for a 7 o'clock game, it was in Glendale an hour before first pitch, and I said, and I was exactly right, we will be lucky to get to our seat in time for the first pitch. We sat down just in time for the first pitch. Glendale, where we were, was 5 miles away from Dodger Stadium, and we made it there in an hour because, first of all, you've got to get there. And we
should have just fucking ran. You're running a 10K.
Well, yeah, it doesn't help that. So you got to get there. You got to get in the stadium. So you're sitting in traffic, even if you don't get on the freeways, which you did not, which was the thing to do. And then, unless you pay for the super premium parking or are sitting in the bleachers in the outfield, getting to your seat is nightmarish because everything is go up stairs and around because it's carved into the side of a mountain. So you get it's stairs and escalators, and you can't go in this entrance because you can't get to this part of the stadium from here. It's just but that can't be helped. That's all part of the thing. Here are the things that you, Christiana Dodger fan, I need you
are personally responsible for.
I need you to defend.
Okay.
Not personally responsible
for.
First of all, the wave. And they try this in a lot of places, but the people at Dodger Stadium were particularly persistent in wanting this 1980s phenomenon to happen. And I don't understand.
People still do that?
Exactly.
The wave?
I think I stopped doing that like 6 years
ago. I've seen the wave done at fucking Rayleigh Field.
And it's stupid there, too. But
okay,
this was the most adamant about it I've ever seen people.
Oh, okay.
It was people in the bleachers, so they were probably drunk.
Yeah,
it was
a drunk thing.
The English people call it a Mexican wave.
Why?
I don't know.
Because
that's what Rob says. It's Mexican wave. And I'm like, I don't think you can say that here.
That's who sits in the... Well,
I don't know.
No, it's
I
it's
sit
not
in the bleachers. Wait, I'm Mexican. Crap.
I sat in the bleachers. My first game at Dodger Stadium, I sat in the bleachers, and a little Mexican kid spilled hot cocoa on my jeans. So I've been at Dodger Stadium when it was 38 degrees and at Dodger Stadium when it was 105 degrees.
Which was better?
Boy.
38.
How the hell did it get to 38 degrees?
It was April and it was night.
It gets that cold?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's in the desert, right?
It's up in the hills.
Hills, deserts.
Most of LA is chaparral, not desert.
What the fuck is a chaparral? Is that a fancy desert?
It's a biome. It's not a desert.
Why do you keep throwing bigger words at me to explain something?
I really like facts. I just really like them. Chaparral gets less rain than a desert, for one thing.
Chaparral. So it's a deserty desert.
Someday you're going to be at like a pub quiz and that free, you know, yep, like pitcher beer is going to be on the line. There's going to be some fucking question. You're going to be like, wait, I know this. And then you'll see why I share
if
these
I'm
nuggets.
Sober enough to remember that on a fucking trivia night, then I'm doing something wrong.
Well, you never know.
The other thing that baffled me, and this was even more so than, well, the beach balls, but that's a Southern California thing. They do it at Angel Stadium too. Not to the same extent, right, where people bring in beach balls and inflate them and just have at it in the crowd and stop paying attention to the game. But at Angel Stadium, they all are the 99-cent store beach balls. They have the logo because they have the just 99-cent store, the purple and white.
Right.
That logo, that beach ball you will see all day long at Angel Stadium. These were, I think, better quality ones at Dodger Stadium. But the thing that blew my mind was at a certain point, people in the upper deck started making paper airplanes and throwing them at the field and getting very excited when they would make it all the way onto the field.
That's thing. I saw that on like the Today Show where it was a football game or a, well, I don't know what it was, soccer or something. I haven't seen that before.
This
very recently.
This was happening.
I blame YouTube.
At one point, I counted 10 paper airplanes on the field. And you're thinking, oh, it's a paper airplane.
Was it MIA night?
I wish it were.
Take your money. I mean, that is kind of the theme song of a...
they do take
major league ball.
They do take your money there.
Yeah.
As Dodger Stadium was, I have now visited this season every single major league park in California, and there's five of them. Dodger Stadium is the most expensive for everything. Everything except for parking. Except for parking. AT&T is more expensive for parking. Tickets?
AT&T no.
Well, there are cheap.
No.
Well, here's the thing: there are cheaper tickets at Dodger Stadium.
Yes,
but the most expensive tickets at Dodger Stadium, way more expensive than AT&T.
Yeah, but that you can't just that's your AT&T average, is more expensive. Going to a game, AT&T is way more.
Your
expensive.
Your average ticket price at Dodger Stadium is a little higher, but the concessions, the beer was the most expensive. It was $12.75 for a premium draft. Which is, I mean, and you go, oh, well, that's not, it's a lot. In Oakland, that same beer will cost you $11. And every other place is somewhere between $11 and $12.75, which is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
But that's what they cost there. But so there were at least, and one of the paper airplanes, and people were super stoked on this because they'd start to go down and people were like, ooh, and it was like this big anticipation thing. And the night we went was the night the Kings clinched the Stanley Cup. And there were people in the like in the corner down the right and left field line. There were bars there watching the game. And in the middle of, I think it was the seventh or eighth inning, Sean Figgins, who's a reserve infielder, just one on the disabled list, fouled a pitch back. And the crowd went fucking nuts. And I'm like, oh, the Kings must have scored and won the game because we knew it had gone into double overtime. Because no one gets that excited about a foul ball. Ever. Because like, and then this was my favorite part of the game, of all things in the game. You know, they'll show people on the scoreboard in various times. They go around the crowd. Well, they had these shots of people like taking pictures and whatever. Well, they had this attractive girl who was out in the bleachers, and they had a shot of her. And they're like, yeah, great. And she was like one of a bunch. And then they went back and they had video of her making all sorts of selfie faces and taking selfies. It was fucking hilarious. Diana, you would have pissed yourself laughing at this.
I'm so sad you didn't record it.
Like, why didn't you think it was going to happen?
Why? There's so many things that every time you keep talking about, because I stayed off Facebook for a while. And like every time you keep talking about your trip, I'm just like, why the fuck didn't he do that? Like bring me the fucking book, spiritual book from the Marriott. let's see. I'm sure there's another thing I'm going to bitch at you for. And then now this, like every time I hear about your trip, I'm like, why didn't you just get Google glasses, record that shit?
We could have all enjoyed vicariously it. Through.
Yeah. Why didn't I spend $1,500 for a face computer?
Yeah, that wasn't a rhetorical question.
Like
that sounds awesome.
Question. Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
No, it was just completely out of nowhere because it just seemed like a regular thing where they do different things like people dancing on the score or whatever. But when they went back and they slow-mo'd her making selfie faces.
Did they play the selfie song in the background? That
no.
would
have
been,
oh, no, yeah, they weren't. But they were doing it, and these are two big ass Diamond Vision screens above the bleachers in left and right field, and the whole crowd, and there were 48,000 people there, busted out laughing. And I was greatly amused by it. And then the human being in me felt bad for her for a moment.
Why?
Because there's 48,000 people laughing at her.
Well, she does some shit like that. Like, what do you think was going to happen? It's like when I do something ridiculous or stupid, like I don't want people to laugh at me. I like them to laugh with me. But sometimes the case is that, like, you know, you deserve a, if you take it too seriously, then, you know, what's the point? You know, but like, she, what was her reaction when she found out?
They didn't show that.
Oh, come on.
They didn't show
that. Oh, she probably cried.
I don't know. My guess is she probably, you know, she was, I don't know.
She's narcissist enough to take selfies that many, then she probably just cried in a corner because she got butt hurt. I'm a dick. I'm going to just stop. I'm a dicktard. I'm going to stop.
Someday the human being in you will come out and feel bad for this poor girl.
Yeah, that someday is probably not going to happen.
Okay.
Because I'm a cold-hearted person.
She's a cold-hearted snake.
Christiana, do you find that whole thing amusing, grandly amusing, or do you feel bad for the person?
I feel bad for a lot of people most of the time, so I guess I probably feel kind of bad.
Which one's worse, like pitying someone or just laughing with them?
Well, with or at, I mean.
To be fair, I loved it. It's the best thing I've seen on a scoreboard at a baseball game in forever. It beats the which ball is the hat on, which hat is the ball under. It beats the racing from the other side of town into the stadium as a wiener. Thing, it beats everything I've ever seen at a ballpark. But then I felt kind of bad for her. But they do another cool thing. They were having fireworks and they let people down onto the field for the fireworks.
Yeah, that's
which
cool.
Which was really cool.
Oh, yeah, that was a cool thing.
Yeah,
I was so stoked because so many people did it. I was able to actually get out of Dodger Stadium unencumbered.
Nice.
So that's a tip for you.
Very
so
good.
They make it so fucking difficult, though. They really do. And some of it's their fault and some of it isn't. But go see a game. If you like baseball, go see a game at Dodger Stadium. You really, it's
great.
It's something to see. Great especially stadium. Especially on when it's not a ridiculously hot day. Just a nice night game in L.A. is just kind of cool. And the view of downtown from up at Dodger Stadium is unbelievably great.
Yeah. So Nate,
yes.
in your rating or your quote, you didn't hate it.
I did. You know what? It's one of those. It's like having a friend who does nothing but piss you off all the time. That's what Dodger Stadium is. It's the friend that works really hard to piss you off all the time, but you still like them for some reason.
Yeah, for some reason, okay. Those friendships only last a couple years for me.
Yeah, to be fair, I have not been to Dodger Stadium since 2005.
That's probably what it is, because if you're there every day and that friend, it's like that friend, you hang out with that friend every day.
Yeah, you just hang out with them often enough to be reminded that they're a dick. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, all right, well, we'll hang out again some other time. And then you wait on that. But
you just kind of forget and you move on with your life.
Yeah, kind of like that. But it was one of those funny things that my friend Leslie, who is with me, she's like, "What is all of this fucking nonsense that's going on?" Everything started to irritate her all the way through to the paper airplanes, which was kind of the culmination. Because it was just
annoying me too. Though.
It was paper just yeah. Annoying. Well, in Dodgers first baseman Adrian Gonzalez, one of the paper airplanes came within 2 feet of hitting him in the face.
Oh, shit.
So yeah, he literally could have had an eye poked out.
Yeah.
By a paper airplane. So quit being a jerk. Hey,
that's
speaking
funny.
Speaking of jerks, John McCain, he's been out and talking. He's a hero.
Why is he still doing that?
Because he's a senator.
Oh.
He's a U.S.
Sure,
senator.
He still has a job to do that gives him the ability to mm-hmm. talk.
No matter how old or confused he might be. In fact, he's now contradicted himself.
Arizona Senator John McCain, who's had no problem placing the blame for the quickly escalating situation in Iraq squarely on the Obama administration. He went so far as to say, quote, the Iraq war did not end because the forces against Iraq and within Iraq were still undefeated. The conflict in Afghanistan will not be over 2 years from now in 2017 when the final American is scheduled to leave Afghanistan. Please learn the lessons. And then here he is making the case for an increased U.S. presence in the region on MSNBC.
And what about the fact that General Petraeus had the conflict won thanks to the surge? And if we left the residual force behind that we could have, that we would not be facing the crisis we are today. Those are facts. Those are fundamental facts. Now, I expected you and others to blame it on all these different events. The fact is we had the conflict won, and we had a stable government and a residual force such as we have left behind. We even have forces in Bosnia, Korea, Germany, Japan, where we could have, but the president wanted out, and now we are paying a very heavy price, and I predicted it in 2011. You can go back and look at the quotes.
Some pretty strong words, but a little different from the tune that Senator McCain was singing 4 years ago when he wrote on Twitter in 2010, last American combat troops leave Iraq. I think President George W. Bush deserves some credit for victory.
So, you know, I predicted that it would be a disaster except for this thing where I said it was a victory.
This is the only time this kind of stuff is when we can call politicians or people out on their bullshit. Because if it's out in the Twitter sphere or out in the internet, we can go back and be like, you're full of shit. Because obviously you don't recall things correctly because you're old and you're a dumb fuck.
But nobody cares anymore. So they're not going to, if you're Team McCain, you're fine with it. If you're not Team McCain, then you're like, why doesn't it matter? I don't know. I have all of the feels about Iraq right now.
Yeah, it's
I have a lot of the feels.
It sucks. When I heard about all this stuff, I'm like, this just fucking sucks. It just fucking sucks.
And it was pretty much going to end up here. Took a little longer to get to this point, maybe, but this was the only way it was going to end, by not ending ever for these people. We fucking broke that country. And there was no way to make it okay.
No.
If we stayed, someday, we still would have left it.
No, I mean, there was not. I mean, and it's all part of, we could have stayed. We've been in Korea since the fucking 50s. And we're in South Korea. We pulled out of Vietnam, and Vietnam became one country. And the bottom line is, if the U.S. goes around and sets up puppet governments everywhere, but these security forces were trained by the U.S. government, and basically these guys that are in these security forces have just been like, no, this is too hard, and they've been taking off their uniforms and just walking away, leaving their uniforms and weapons behind. That's part of it, and that's part that I've heard, and I mean, Jesus Christ, we can't go around and just be like, we're going to have this government here and we're going to oversee this government. No, we didn't need to go into Iraq in the first place. There's no reason to go into Iraq. It was a fucking boondoggle based on a lie, based on bullshit, based on deception. And yeah, President Bush does deserve full credit for that. And the only thing that's sometimes worse than a political strongman and dictator in charge is the vacuum created when that person is taken out in a society that doesn't really do well with democracy. Because instead of a democracy flourishing, as we would hope it might, what ends up happening is other warlords step in and sort of take control and rule through fear. And because that's kind of the way the country's been run, it's not the same as if it happened in Nebraska, where people are used to a democracy and they're like, we're not going to stand for this. They're like, oh, well, another dictator coming in, whatever. Time to go out and hoe the rocks or whatever they do in Iraq. I don't know.
They stack them.
Oh, okay. Whatever. Speaking of terrible things, Kanye West, Dave Chappelle he's doing big concerts in New York, and he's been on the talk shows after being gone for quite some time.
Yeah.
He talked about his first encounter ever with Kanye West. This goes back to the Chappelle Show, before anybody really knew who Kanye was.
To the edit, and this is when everyone knew Kanye was going to be a star.
So they shot some stuff, and they're in an edit bay showing Kanye and a few other people kind of some sketches that hadn't been aired yet, and so on and so forth. So This is Kanye West guy no one has really ever heard of yet, because Chappelle broke unknown musicians and things like that, including at the time, at least some of the members of the Roots weren't really well known, but this was exposure for them. So this was Kanye West.
And we were watching sketches. We were like, yeah, we could watch some sketches. No one's ever seen these before. We show them like the Rick James sketch and all these great sketches. And in the middle of it, Kanye's phone rings. And he's like, hello? He goes, no, I can't. No, because I'm at the edit for the Dave Chappelle show, watching sketches that no one's seen before. And then it goes like this, because my life is dope, and I do dope. And he hung up the phone.
Kanye was born.
Yeah.
Kanye West was
no
born.
No record.
Yeah, that is great. Oh, my God. I love that.
Okay, I might be coming around on Kanye.
But my life is dope and I do dope shit.
That is kind of, I kind of want to make that my life quote now.
Yeah.
Go ahead, steal it. He's stealing beats and rhythms from everybody. You might as well steal from him.
I feel like I shouldn't steal from him now. I'm stealing from Kanye circa 1990.
Yeah, before he was anybody. It's like stealing from an open micer, Diana. It's perfectly okay.
On.
What?
Uh-oh.
Oh,
good open micer, I guess.
Because that never happens. People don't steal stuff from open mic. That
I'm
one's
still
all the time.
An open micer. It's okay.
I'd steal shit from a closed mic. I don't know what that means, but
no.
I just mean I'll retell people's joke. Do you have friends on Facebook you see, like, they tell a joke or they make a statement, like, and it's like a really old joke? It's so old you don't even know who it came from. It's like really old joke, and you want to be like, you know, we know you didn't write that, right?
I had a friend steal my bit before.
Stop talking about John Alston cool. like that.
No, I love John. John's my bud.
I've seen that a lot, but yeah, it happens. So when is coming out not really a big deal when a well-known person does it? Well, when actually everybody knew about it, it's kind of the thing. WWE legend Pat Patterson has come out as gay.
I'm sorry, who cares about the WWE besides you and Ted?
A lot of people care about the WWE.
I don't see anyone in this room that does.
Me?
Except for you.
And the cats.
Uh-huh.
Well, as TMZ first reported, the 73-year-old wrestling icon spoke at length about his sexuality for the first time publicly in a clip from the reality series Legends House, which is on WWE Network, which Ted and I both have. Let's take a quick listen to the emotional announcement. Oh, here we go, TMZ. Come on, you can do it, TMZ. There we go.
Is it me?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, from where I come from, what I have nothing, no family, no money, and I ended up with Vince working in the office. To me, that was the biggest achievement of my life. But there's more to that, guys. There's more to that. Sitting here tonight, I'm going to say something that I would never want to say publicly. But being here with you guys.
Aw, damn buffering. He's just about to get emotional, too.
I feel the tears coming.
For once in my life, I'm going to be me now.
It's tough to be him.
I survived all this being gay.
And he survived all this being in the wrestling game, which is a physically demanding thing, especially at the time when he came out, because he's 73 now. This was at a time before they really took time off or anything.
But when he just let it go tonight and made it happen, I started tearing up. My fellow Legends mates started tearing up.
My fellow Legends mate.
That's
cumbersome.
They all had a good cry.
That's pretty cumbersome.
Here's the thing about it coming out now, because Legends House is just airing on WWE Network. It was actually taped in 2012.
That's my favorite part about this whole thing.
And it really wasn't a secret. I had heard about it, God, probably 2 years ago. Because it came out. People were talking about it. It wasn't a big deal. And when...
But it hadn't got its slow reality show.
Right, it didn't have the music underneath.
Yeah.
Everything sounds more dramatic with music. I think the next time I come out, I'm going to turn on my Spotify and play a song.
The next time you come out to who?
I have to come out to all the fucking time.
To like the Aborigines? Who doesn't know? You have a podcast.
Well, yeah, but it's like people at work don't know.
Oh, okay.
Random people I meet. Every comedy show that I do, like sometimes people don't know me. So it's like I have to come out and it's weird.
Is it? Okay.
It's a weird thing coming out.
Okay.
It's, especially at 7th year. I can only imagine. Like props to him, but at the same time.
Yeah, that, I mean,
it's like I feel like when you used to be famous and you used to be a big deal, and then you do something like that after so many years, it's like I want to be relevant again. And it's kind of late because people who are relevant now are coming out now, but I can see the struggle and how weird, because 73 being gay then is, I mean, being gay now it's weird, it's just becoming okay,
right?
Or acceptable, right. I should say. So coming out then, I can only imagine.
Yeah, in a occupation where you're traveling with other guys and you're wrestling with them in basically your underpants. I mean, I can't even imagine how scared he would have been that some of these guys would have found out that he was gay and been like, fuck, and just couldn't work.
Oh, yeah. They probably would have fucked him up, too.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, that's the thing. I think if he addressed it maybe earlier. Besides the 2 years, but I don't know. It's not like he's talking about that. Like, he's just like, I'm gay. He's not. I don't know. I think if you had that, like, you know, you already had all this, you're kind of famous, and especially something like that, you have a story to tell. And I think that would have been great. If I don't know if he goes into it or not. Apparently, it was the season finale,
and they taped it 2 years
or
ago.
Or series finale. It's a season finale 2 years ago. So I think it would have been great if he kind of delved into it. If he wrote a book, I would definitely read that. I think that's a great story to tell, especially from that time era.
Yeah.
But it just sounds like he's just like, I'm gay.
Well, in this
dot,
whole thing,
dot, dot.
This whole thing is like the surreal Lifehouse, but with retired wrestlers.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know. I think there could be a lot of social change if there's more exposure. If he exposed what it was like for him, what the reactions he got, and so, and it's for people to understand. And I think it'd be great if he's already gonna put himself out there and be like, I'm gay. Like, if you're already gonna fucking do that at 73, you might as well write a fucking book and try to make some changes.
Yeah,
because change has obviously been really fucking slow, in my opinion.
Well, and here's the Jim Ross, who's a longtime commentator on for WWE. Someone tweeted him and asked any comment on Pat Patterson coming out, and his reply was, happy for Pat, but old news. It shouldn't matter. And it shouldn't matter.
It shouldn't, but it does.
Yeah, I'm hoping someday it doesn't.
I mean, I just go back to this, like, whole, like, you know, the last podcast where we talked about the KFC incident and we talked about the JetBlue incident. Like, people just don't have human decency in them, or they don't have, like, just basic common sense. I think that's just kind of going out the door.
Yeah, I think in those instances, it's one of those things where you're following the letter of the law at your job. You're like, people are afraid to go off of that sort of thing, off of the playbook, so to speak, to go, well, we're not supposed to let anybody off. We're not supposed to let anybody get up out of their seat to use the restroom when we're on the taxiway. So that's the rule. So you have a 3-year-old here who is going to piss herself. But the rule is we can't let anybody get up, and anybody means anybody, because blah, 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 blah. So there's a difference between that and just people being decent to other people in regular day-to-day life.
I don't know. You would think, but when to those people, the Bible or their religion is like their job, like the same, it holds the same impact as their job.
Yeah.
So that's where they get it
from.
Okay,
I see what you're saying.
So it's still the same mentality, even though we can't relate to it as much if you're not as religious, you know, you don't understand as much. But like those kind of instances, like I feel like if that didn't happen, let's say that didn't happen at all, the flight attendant was like, all right, go to the bathroom, that flight attendant may have been scolded,
yep,
or reprimanded in some manner. So maybe this is a good thing that happened. She's being what's that called when you're like a, not a trendsetter, but you're doing it for a cause.
Well, I mean, it may work out that way.
A martyr. She's the 3-year-old is a martyr by pissing herself.
Might escalate a little bit more, but
the wet martyr. The wet martyr is the way to go.
The pee bandit.
Good lord.
They act, we decide. Cool or tool.
All right, up first in cooler tool, John McCain. Diana.
Dumb fuck. O'Toole.
Christiana.
We not all want to agree on this.
I'm so conflicted about him, but I'm going to have to go tool, but it makes me sad.
Me too. It does, because he is a war hero. He did serve his country with honor and valor as a prisoner of war. But I mean,
think he's such a good man who just lost his way now.
Yeah, because if you go back to, say, 2000.
Because he fucking hates George Bush. And yeah. He hated everything George Bush did. And he was one of the few people in Congress who should have been allowed to talk about getting people into war. Since he's one of the few people in Congress who's, like, done it. And there's a great... Okay, tangent. Mm-hmm. There's one of my favorite Saturday Night Live pieces of all time was during the 2004 election. They did one of those fun with real audio things where it was the audio was John McCain introducing George W. Bush at like a campaign event. And then the picture was him having to stop every so like he'd get up there and be like, ladies and gentlemen, and you go back to the dressing room and he was like self-flagellating and like breaking shit. And was like so angry to have to be doing it. And I just think that's John McCain, and it makes me sad.
Yeah, I think he sold his soul for his goal to be president, which never happened for him.
Yeah.
And, so ultimately, sorry, buddy. Tool. Up next in Cooler Tool, Kanye West. Christiana.
Cool. That quote was fucking cool.
Yeah, this time I'm going to have to go cool for Kanye
this
West.
This is the only time.
Pre-fame Kanye, cool.
Can Becca, this is the only time.
I'm dope and I do dope shit. Was that it?
My life is dope.
My life is dope.
And I do dope shit.
That's just so simple.
Yeah.
It's so simple and to the point.
If we could all live that way, then that would be the thing. And finally, in cooler...
It'd be too long for a hashtag, but I'd like that to supersede the hashtag blessed.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's really like...
there should be
it's
a shirt.
It's not blessed. It's just a...
Yeah,
life is dope and I do dope shit.
There should be a shirt that says that.
Yeah, hashtag doing dope shit. Or hashtag...
Dope life.
My dope life.
Although, I don't know. That sounds like a drug, like a wrong way.
Yeah.
Wrong way.
Yeah, you don't want your mom reading
oh
that.
Oh my God, I'm going to start that.
And finally, in Cooler Tool, not making a big deal out of people coming out. Diana?
I don't know what you mean. I think at this time it's kind of cool. I think it still needs to be addressed.
Okay.
Should it be a big deal? No. I'm conflicted on how to describe this. So I'm going to go with tool.
Okay. Christiana?
I think it's still good to show acceptance and stuff. So I don't know. It's cool not to make a big deal. But then you also don't want to like belittle somebody.
Exactly.
Because I had a neighbor in college who was... You know, I mean, I don't know, stereotype, but kind of all knew what his orientation was, but he was very, for a lot of reasons, he was not out. And then he came out and everybody, it was sort of a collective shrug, like, okay. And then that made him he was super angry. And I think it was because he'd probably worked for so long to not acknowledge it to himself or to see to other, he was really angry about it, even though nobody had a problem. Nobody was ostracizing him about it. He was on the football team. It was fine. Like, it was fine.
He thought,
but he got mad. He got mad at me. I remember, like, we had this huge, terrible exchange, and because he was mad, because I'm like, I don't care.
So he just,
I don't care if you're. That's fine. It doesn't change anything.
Yeah, it sounds to me like he was thinking it was so well hidden from everybody else because he was living this certain way. He's like, nobody knows. This is my secret. And then when he made the decision, which was probably a big, 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 big deal to come out when people weren't like, oh, my God, he was probably a little bit taken aback by that.
Well, yeah. From personal experience, like I remember when I first started coming out and people were like, yeah, we already knew like all this stuff. I had so much anxiety for like I didn't come out for the first time. I think 2019, 2020 was the first time I came out. And after that, I started getting the reaction of like, oh, we already knew. We're not surprised. Like, I just felt I think belittled is the best way to say it. It's like kind of almost like you spent all this time thinking you hit it. Like you were kind of coming off as normal. And then when you finally had the courage to kind of then it's like everyone's just like, oh, even though it's like we still love you. It's still the reaction is, oh, it's not that big of a deal. It's like, I just did this.
You did like a super brave thing and nobody's honoring your bravery and doing that. Yeah, I get that.
But this is also at a time where like I was like people still are very homophobic and stuff like that. Like, granted, it's not that long ago, but it's still, yeah. But hopefully over time, it doesn't have to be a huge deal just coming on, just like it's a casual conversation. Oh, no, my girlfriend or my boyfriend.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's cool to, I think it is cool to be like, it's not a big deal. This person is a great person.
Right.
And that's what I
mean.
Or
right. Hey, buddy, you're still an asshole.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
It doesn't change
equality now.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. It's okay to think someone who's gay is a fucking horrible person.
They probably are horrible no matter who they.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Their sexual wiring has absolutely nothing to do with the quality of person they are.
I think that's what the message is.
You can still be an asshole.
Yay. All right. From one of my least favorite sites on the internet, but this is an important story. Lego is going to be producing a female scientist minifigure set.
Yay.
God damn it.
What?
Are they still, like, why does it have to be female? Why can't it be just a
because they have because they have male ones already. And yeah.
Does it say boys only?
No, of course not.
No, the scientists
are
actually.
It doesn't say boys only.
Scientists. Oh, yeah.
They're literal
scientists.
Tools.
No, that makes sense.
They're little ladies with things.
Oh, that
and
makes
we're gonna
sense.
We'll leave aside like the gender binary and like gender constructs of like why do they got ponytails and why they got a little like red lips. They don't have to, but it's still positive.
Yeah, no, it's a good step. I totally misread that title.
Yeah.
Well, it was 2.5 years ago the Lego Corporation made a move that sent into motion a chain of events that has led to the following exciting announcement that they did via YouTube. So let's take a little listen to it. It's Lego Ideas, everybody.
Hi. Welcome to a brand new Lego Ideas review result video. My name is Frederik. Which is very hard to pronounce if you're not.
My name is.
Okay, this is not ESL.
My name is.
Danish. So I also go by Freddy.
Oh, it's Freddy.
In just a moment, you'll be the first to find out which fan base project has made the final cut to become an official Lego set.
Yay!
The 2013 winter review results are in. And as you recall, these are Sherlock.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Benedict Cumberbatch, that's pretty cool.
Legend of Zelda, Iron Knuckle Encounter. Japanese old-style architecture.
That's really cool.
Adventure Time. BTTF UCS DeLorean Time Machine. And also, one project from the fall 2013 review is still under consideration. The female minifigure set. But we'll get to all those project results in just a minute. First, a little background. The Lego Review Board checks out every project.
Okay, this is boring.
Yep.
Long story short. It would be boring if English were her first language, and it is not.
She's pretty fluent, you guys.
She's not
hard to understand.
A little bit hard to understand.
No, she's not.
A little bit. I've skipped ahead to the end.
I think it was just because it was boring. It was hard to understand.
This Lego project will be titled Research Institute and is now in development. Professional Lego designers are building the final version that will become a Lego idea set. The final availability, design, and pricing is still being worked out.
It's going
to
be really high.
But it's on track to hit the shelves in August 2014. So keep an eye out for the final design and details on Lego Ideas.
So in August, there will be little girl scientist Legos.
Can we talk about how... What I don't... I Christiane, you would know. You're better with my words than I am.
You leave the talking to me.
What? Why does she look like that?
What do you mean?
She looks like
a little boxy Lego person. They
no,
all look
but
weird.
Like the hair, the glasses, like they're totally like she's a nerd. Like they totally just
she's
made
a fucking scientist.
Well, like she can't be a hot scientist.
Badge of honor. Well, no. Well, this is the problem: is that Lego. I think the road that got us here was that Lego came out with the girl branded things,
right?
And instead of these minifigs, these little Lego people, they're all squares, right? I mean, they're all Lego shaped with little brown head. There's a limit to what you can do with them.
Oh,
you know,
totally
that shape.
You can see the boob line.
But what I know, I know that's okay. But we have memories. It's okay. It's fine.
It's better than
they need
okay.
to make a little nursing Lego thing. You could do that with a little you could nurse the kid. The thing that got them in trouble was they released this girl line of Lego toys, and the girl figures looked, they were more like then they made them like skinny and tall and blonde and girly, and they didn't look like the rest of the minifigs. So these minifigs look like the rest of little Lego people with the little hands, like the Lego movie people.
She looks like she hasn't got laid in like...
Well,
like, this is what I picture a scientist, like the nerdy scientists, like...
They do look like that frequently.
Right.
Do they?
Like, yes.
They do. Oh, my God, yes. I can just say that they do. But that look works for a lot of people.
Yeah.
It works for me.
Brainy.
That's true. It is.
Brainy,
I think it's kind of am that. Except that my glasses are, I mean, my hair's longer, but there's really there's a lot of similarities. Like, go get me two wine glasses from your cupboard. I'll hold them upside down. They'll look like those beakers.
That's true. Yeah.
There is
a resemblance
like that.
Yeah.
Which is better than for anybody who have you guys watched the second season of, no, you haven't. Have you watched Orange is New Black second season?
Oh my God, duh.
Okay, well, I haven't finished yet. We're like two away from that, so don't spoil anything. But I had two, this actually hurts me. I don't really want to talk about it, but I'm going to anyway for the good of the podcast. And because of this minifig, I had two separate people from totally different parts of my life who could not have talked to each other about this. Say that, okay, in the first episode of the second season, she's in a different prison for a little while.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a woman who's really into like numerology and has like glasses.
Shut
and
up.
Is short and
like
round.
You?
And they're like, she looks just like you, or she talks just like you. And I'm like, I was like, okay, let me explain something to you. If you're going to say I look like anybody from Orange is the New Black who wears glasses, the only answer is Alex Voss, even though I don't look anything like her. That's what you have to say.
Yeah, that's
you
as
can't
a friend.
Say I look like the round, weird, face licking numerology girl.
She licked her face.
It doesn't match. It doesn't match. I have confused body image, but it doesn't match what I think I look like. I was really sad about that.
Are you into numerology? Please say yes.
No.
Damn it.
I'm not. It made me real. All of it made me really sad,
you
guys.
Oh, that is. I know how you feel. I get that a lot, too.
You look like an ugly person. Totally like that ugly person.
That looked up.
Thank
face.
You.
Let me steer this back around for you a little bit. The person on TV who I thought resembled you, and I say it resembled you because she's younger, is Allison Williams. And it's her mannerisms,
okay,
it's her vocal
Thanks.
Inflection, and there is a bit of a facial resemblance, although she does have a little bit lighter hair, but who knows what her real hair color
True.
Is. But I thought, when I saw her on Girls, I go, oh my God, she reminds me, and it's her, the actress, but a little bit of the character, not the horrible parts of the character.
Thanks.
But
good save.
Because the character is somebody who's very smart, but kind of gets in her own way.
Maybe not a lot of emotional intelligence there.
Her
EQ is low.
However, but
I don't
that's
know.
The,
I only watched the first season.
That's the only person on TV who I've been like, oh my God, that's somebody. Although I was.
See, and that's how you do it.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Not oh my God.
Even if you see somebody terrible, it reminds you of someone, like, you just don't share that. You
right.
keep it to yourself, or you talk behind their back.
Right. You whisper.
I got a picture sent to me. It was like, look, it's your twin. And it was this fucking awkward ass girl in my friend's class.
Aww.
And this, well, the person that sent me the picture, like, and I was just like, wow. So I were never hooking up again.
So I was watching The Soup, catching up with my DVR, and there is a show called, it's called Sister Wives. And
yeah, it is.
Loved it.
Okay,
it.
And I've never seen it.
I have. It's like
okay.
a train wreck. You can't stop
so,
watching.
So this guy, Cody, from Sister Wives.
Oh, he's such a catch.
So you know
such
what he looks fucking... like. You see what he looks like here.
Do you think
you
he wants a
photo.
Fifth and a sixth?
here,
gotta fight me for number five.
Here's the
what?
Thing. He is a dead ringer for my friend, Chris King. There's
oh, my
Chris.
God, he is. Oh, shit.
If you put a wig
oh, shit.
On Chris.
He is.
If you put
Damn.
A wig on Chris,
sorry, Nate's friend.
Chris,
wow.
Chris is a very good director, but that is
wow.
that is, and Chris has a twin brother, by the way, Phil, who and his uh-huh. twin brother doesn't look any more like him than this guy does. It's crazy. But I was watching The Soup, and I nearly did a spit take because they had like the freeze frame behind him. I'm like, oh my God, that's my friend Chris, but with long hair. But that's not really. That's more of an
oh
attitude
my gosh,
thing.
Did you tell Chris that?
I put it on his Facebook page. Are you kidding me?
I saw
he likes it again, like 100.
Yeah, I just brought. I've found Chris King's celebrity double. I put it right on there. Yeah, and
awesome.
he liked it. So, because very rarely do you get a doppelganger that's that fucking close. That was scary close. All right. All right, let's go across the pond.
Who wouldn't like it? Homeboy got four wives. That's a pimp.
The only person really that I ever want to be told they look like is Tina Fey, though I look nothing like her, except I have glasses and dark hair,
yeah.
But that's fine.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
I can kind of see it. Maybe it's because you guys are both white.
We do look all alike, mostly.
We all look alike.
She's Greek. I've got some Italian in me, too, so it's like a Mediterranean thing going on.
See, I'm not being racist.
No, it's legit. It's legit. I have a scar on my face. She has a scar on her face.
Yes.
Twinsies. Mm-hmm.
We're meant to be together.
Yeah, so I can meet her and we can get married.
All right.
No, you wanted to be Cody's fifth wife. You already made your choice.
You wanted to be fifth or sixth.
Well, you're fifth, so I have time to go marry Tina Fey. It works out. I win.
Wait.
Moving on. Well, I still only have one. There you go.
Yep. Winner. Social media around the world has gone nuts about a story about a naughty squirrel who jumped into a woman's handbag and refused to leave.
I did see that.
I love squirrels.
That's right. Dozens of people have commented on the bizarre story that the Chronicle reported, which called for Cheshire police to intervene after a woman became distressed in an incident outside the Strophosphere Arms pub on Northgate Street, which Sergeant Andy Burridge from the force described as, quote, the strangest story of my entire career. He told the Chronicle, quote, I was approached by a member of the public saying that a squirrel had attached itself to its girlfriend and wouldn't let go. I really didn't know if this was a windup or not, so I went to the CCTV room, and sure enough, I could see that a very determined baby squirrel would not leave a lady alone and was nestled in her handbag. I promptly dispatched Detective Constable Nigel Thake to the rescue, who was able to prise the squirrel away. However, on trying to release it, it then turned its affections to Nigel and wouldn't leave him either. Thankfully, after a short while, it did and happily skipped off up a tree into the cathedral grounds. It was definitely the weirdest job in my 14 years of policing, and definitely Nigel's in over 20 years.
It was a cute-ass squirrel in the squirrel's defense.
Well, they're all cute until the rabies set in.
Usually, can't you see that from like the foam in the mouth?
Well, it's a baby squirrel. It wasn't rabid. It was
so cute. Anytime
I hear a squirrel attaching itself story, I just think of Christmas Vacation.
Yeah,
that scene. Squirrel.
Hilaire.
Don't be afraid of the squirrel. It's all good.
Embrace
it's all good.
The squirrel.
Embrace the squirrel. All right, we didn't get a chance to do this last show, so let's delve into a little Florida corner, shall we?
Florida.
Florida. It's hot and sweaty. Headline, laughing man arrested after crashing into car stripping naked, police say. Because police say the darndest things. From Melbourne, Florida, a man was arrested in West Melbourne on allegations of crashing into a woman's car, stripping naked and exposing himself while laughing. According to police, Nikola Prulov drove his car into the woman's vehicle several times. Police say he then parked on the front yard of a home, got out, screamed at people, and tried unscrewing a light bulb in the driveway of the home. He then took off all his clothes and exposed himself to several people, laughing while doing so. As officers were escorting him to a patrol car, he jumped around while in handcuffs and, still naked, screamed profanities. As the officers tried to put the 5'6", 167-pound man in a patrol car, he climbed the side of the car with his feet as he used the officers as leverage. After being put in the patrol car, he spit at an officer, so police put a mask on his face and shackles on his legs. After he was checked out at the hospital, they took him to jail. Booked on charges of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, I'm not sure what that would be, assault on police, leaving the scene of an accident, reckless driving, disorderly conduct, and exposure of sexual organs. Exposure of sexual organs. Well, then. But it's not just the men in Florida who are doing things. Nope. Julia Heinbaugh was jailed after a dispute over parking spaces. That's right. She was arrested after police obtained a warrant to arrest her, because that's the order of things, warrant and arrest. The charge is a misdemeanor battery. Police say that the 20-year-old woman argued with the victim over his use of multiple parking spaces, which denied her ability to park. Investigators say Heinbaugh and the victim called each other names in the presence of each other's children, allegedly prompting Heinbaugh to throw a half-eaten sandwich at the victim, striking him in the back of the head.
Right.
That was the battery charge, the sandwich assault. She was arrested and transported to the Indian River County Jail without incident because, well, she didn't have any more sandwiches. It wasn't a picnic lunch or anything, so she was out. That guy's got to feel really tough calling the cops. Listen, I was parked in three spaces, and sure, there was this thing, but she threw a sandwich at me. So that's technically battery, right? Right? Arrest her. What a dick. What a fucking dick. I'm sorry. What a dick. All right. Indulge me for a moment. I have a little bit of a rant.
It's your show. Do we have a choice?
You do.
Just kidding.
It's one of those things that I don't know if this is an issue in the ladies' room or not, but
I already like where this is going.
There is a special place in hell for anyone who pisses on a seat in a public restroom. And I
agree. This is a huge problem in these restrooms.
Girls are fucking nasty.
This is what I've heard. I don't go in the ladies' room, so I don't know. But this has happened multiple times, and it fucking pisses me off. Because it brings out the inner, you know, remember I said a little while ago, the inner human being in me came out because I felt bad for the girl in her selfies. The inner enraged animal in me comes out when I walk into a public restroom and I see some motherfucker has pissed on the seat and left it there. Because it means, first of all, too goddamn lazy to lift the seat to piss. If you're that big of a germaphobe that you can't take some toilet paper and lift the edge of the seat up, don't leave.
We're going to have to talk about that in the next episode.
I know.
We're going to have a talk about that.
Yelling into the microphone. If you're that much of a germaphobe, you're right. Don't leave your fucking house. I don't want to see you on the street. If you can't be bothered to lift a seat because you're afraid of the germs, don't ever leave your fucking house, you horrible piece of shit. Number two, if you think that your aim is so good that you can make it in there and not piss on the seat, you're wrong.
Yep.
You're absolutely positively wrong. And if something, let's say you're getting crazy and you're like, I want to try it out. Take the toilet paper and wipe off the fucking seat. You horrible excuse for a person. Because this not only happens in public restrooms. I encountered it in a very lovely... You know, have you heard of Harris Ranch?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The restroom...
It's amazing.
Yeah.
They got a tiny potty in the ladies' room for little kids. Uh-huh. One of those little tiny, tiny ones. That's good planning, Harris Ranch.
What's Harris Ranch?
It's a restaurant just off I-5.
It's where the cows go to die.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
It's down the road from where they go to die. But it's where they become beautiful, tasty steak.
Mm-hmm.
Your voice just makes it sound okay.
It is okay. It's perfectly okay because they're good.
When Ted leaves, we just talk about murder the whole time.
Oh, how it tastes so good.
I'll talk about it when he's here. So I went into the men's room, and it was the small men's room near the... more casual of the dining.
Oh, you didn't go to the one on the other end. That's the fancy one.
Well, yes, because it was just a quick stop off the highway on the way back.
Sure.
And I walk in, and there was someone in the other stall already making giant potty. And so I walk in there. There's another stall. I walk in, and someone has pissed, not like a little bit, all over the seat. Like
drunk.
Literally as much on the seat as in the toilet.
That's disgusting.
And here's the other thing. I work with at least one motherfucker who does this.
Mm.
I don't know who it is. I don't know that I want to find out who it is.
How do men do that? I mean,
piece of toilet paper and just like lift it up. Like,
exactly.
Can you not get pee on it even if you don't lift it up?
No, the chances of you being able to actually not get any on the seat are very slim.
I don't know. I mean, I don't have a penis.
Because there'll be little droplets that will fly off in little directions and here and there. So the whole point is you don't need to leave the seat. That's why we... And it's the men's room. Why are you leaving the seat down in the men's room?
Right.
And do you do this at home? What sort of are you just angry at your wife who gets mad at you when you leave the seat up?
All right, wrap it up, buddy.
What is going on? What is going on? What is fucking wrong with people?
Could you not take a piss or something? What was going on?
Women do it too, and that's why if everybody one woman does the hover thing because she doesn't want her precious butt to touch, and then it gets pee on, and then everybody does it. If everyone just sat their ass down, there'd be less germs.
Just
spreading.
Use a fucking. If there's no,
just put your butt down. Just put your butt on the seat.
If you're really that paranoid and there's no seat
the
covers,
back of your legs dirty, they're probably not. Just put your fucking ass down.
Oh, exactly. I was gonna say use toilet paper.
Yeah.
But that's. I mean, that's just for your mind. That's
exactly. If they're that fucking paranoid,
sit your ass down. Don't hover. Yeah. Or if you want to hover and you're a lady, you also should lift the seat.
Yeah, and by the way, and if you leave a mess, clean it up. I'll finish this part. By the way, people, quit being fucking nasty. They're at the county fair. if you went into the restroom at the county fair, someone had carved or written, I forget at this point in time, behind the toilet, and it said, "Be like Pa, not like Ma. Lift the seat to piss." And I thought those are words to live by. Why isn't that in every restroom? Apparently, because Ma just pisses on the seat too. Anyway, okay, I feel better now. I was just angry about that. It's been bugging me for a while.
Okay, buddy, let it out. Safe space.
Okay, let's pet my cat, my therapy cat. I'm gonna fly with him now because he's my therapy cat. I'll get a note from the doctor. It'll be okay. good. Did I mention Amazon this show? Hey, thanks for shopping Amazon. If you haven't, go ahead and do it.
I was going to say you can order your own toilet seat covers so you can carry them around.
Yeah, you can have all of your shit delivered to your house so you never have to leave it, you nasty motherfucker. But if you're going to, you nasty motherfucker, go to NateDarlingShow.com, click that Shop Amazon tab, and then go to town. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and it helps support the show, so thanks. And quit pissing on the seat, you nasty bastards. All right, hold on.
I know it!
There we go. I feel better now after doing that.
Don't let the big world overwhelm you. Let's get small. Small town news.
Wow, I should have played that before I started talking about the seats. All right. All right. It's time for a little bit of speak out from the Press Republican, because that's the best way to end our week. Hey, thank God for our hardworking farmers, but please clean up your beautiful farmland and dispose properly of plastic hay wrap. We see it piled on stone walls and scattered everywhere. Why not build a hay barn? The wrap is expensive. A barn would pay for itself in a few years. Hey, thanks, person who's never lived on a farm. How about you go fuck yourself? Jackass. Hey, could parents of Redford teenagers please read the laws of power lines? See, this is private property that NYSEG has a right of way to. If it's posted, then you're trespassing. Thank you. Apparently, Redford teenagers are drinking under the power lines. Or fucking, one or the other, or both. Hey, I'm hoping that some of the young men at PHS, that's Plattsburgh High, will consider joining the football team in the fall. What a great way to experience teamwork, commitment, and dedication for a youngster. If you're on the fence, give it a try. Be part of something special. Okay. Right?
Yeah.
Hey, this time of year again, when pet owners let their dogs run around off their leashes, folks, there's a leash law in the city of Plattsburgh. Obey it. Dogs need to be leashed when you take them for walks or even when they're outdoors unsupervised. What?
I don't even know what
that means. Yeah. So, here, go on, Fido. Let me put this leash on. You need to drag this around. Anyway. Hey, it's obscene for the federal government to charge 7% interest for student loans, especially when the prime rate is about 2% and a 30-year mortgage is 4.4%. Senator Elizabeth Warren should run for president.
What? Why are you looking at me?
I'm just asking.
I don't even know who the fuck that is.
I was expecting a huzzah. I don't know. Anyway, hey, the use of artificial mulch around the grounds at SUNY Plattsburgh is grossly unnecessary. It looks hideous and a waste of materials. Yeah, but the grounds look. No weeds. That's what you do. All right, and finally. Oh, no, not finally. There's more. Sorry. You know your state government is broken when debates on yogurt get more attention than gun control. I didn't know they were debating yogurt in New York. I need to keep up on these things. Yeah, dogs running around, concerts. Hey, my husband owns an excavation company that operates year-round. He has several employees who receive health insurance and vacation time. There are several unscrupulous small outfits out there that pay their help under the table just to make more of a profit. The state taxation department has been notified. Thanks, Narc.
Jerks.
Hey, members of the correctional community are watching to see how the DA is prosecuting the local promoting of prison contraband cases. Okay.
Yep.
You know, if it wasn't for whistleblowers, we wouldn't have the slightest clue what was really going on behind the curtains. The game of politics in America, spelled with a K, by the way, is more dirty than what you would think.
Sure.
And finally, in the new America, if you're not on the government's bandwagon, you're against it and are seen as a terrorist or an extremist. I was once skeptical about this approach, but as time ticks by, it becomes more clear.
And it's the Republican saying that now.
It becomes more clear.
You sound like Anthony Hopkins in Silence of the Lambs. Hello, Clarice. I can't even do it.
Hello, Clarice. I don't know. Anyway.
Okay.
Sorry for that rant at the end of the show. I was just very angry. When you have to poo and the seat is all covered with someone else's pee, it's just very frustrating.
What's the podcast version of, like, TLDR? Like, too long, didn't read.
Yes! Oh my god, that's how I feel when you read those fucking articles from Small Town.
Except for Speak Out.
Speak Out's fucking awesome. I love Speak Out, but those fucking articles about the fucking restaurant and the fucking silverware and shit.
Hey,
I didn't know that was a thing.
That's why I saved it for the end of the show, okay?
Oh, that's good.
That's why
so
I didn't
happy.
Lead off with that, because people are like, oh, good, he's going to bitch for 5 minutes about people pissing on the seat. You know what? I'm going to go piss on the seat in my own bathroom just to fuck with him. Yeah. Yeah, I encourage everybody.
Fantastic.
Go piss on your own seat in your own bathroom. See how that works out for you. Anyway, that's going to do it for us for this week. I think Ted's back next week.
Ted.
Pretty sure. It'll be good to have him back. In a fighting mood, or whatever mood Ted's in, I don't know. And he gets his tiger, so that'll be good. Hey, everybody, you have a great weekend. Enjoy it. We'll see you next week with fresh new episodes of the Nate Darling Show and a new Well Hung podcast on Monday. So get them all on iTunes at natedarlingshow.com. So we'll see you next time. When you're singing that song, yeah, I got a lump in my throat. Running down to the river, taking a white to the dark side.